Well, good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jacob Hawkinsmith, and I am the Director of Student Ministries here at Clinton Methodist Church. And I get the pleasure of sharing a small meditation with you this morning. And the meditation comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. And it's a little bit of an interesting verse to me, because we find it in the book of Isaiah, in the prophets. Yet it references material from older in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the Pentateuch, in Leviticus. Yet we also see it referenced in the Gospels, specifically in Luke. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So, if you have turned there this morning, would you please join with me in reading Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the faint of spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to start out with a seemingly unrelated question. How many of you look forward to the weekend? You're sitting in the middle of a staff meeting on Tuesday morning, falling asleep. How many of you guys are thinking about what you're going to do Friday night? Or maybe you've already been at work for 4 days and it's Thursday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You just had lunch and you got that groggy feeling and you start falling asleep. A lot of us look forward to the weekend. Maybe you're a student and you go to school every day and you're excited not to go to school. Why do we look forward to the weekend? It's because of rest. We are excited to have a break, whether that's a break from going to work or a break from studying or a break from our day-to-day lives. We look forward to just rest. And rest is actually really good for us. There are plenty of health benefits associated with taking time to just sit back and relax and rest. But it's not something that's just good for you. It's also something that is commanded to you. In the Ten Commandments, it's point number 4. We read, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." So the Israelites were to work for 6 days out of the week and then take the seventh day and do absolutely no work whatsoever. It was to be a Sabbath, a day of rest, a day of devotion to God. But beyond that, they weren't just called to this Sabbath day, but every 7 years they were called to a Sabbath year. And it wasn't just for them, but it was for the land that they worked as well. They would work for 7 years every year. And then on the seventh year, they were commanded not to do any work. They were not allowed to sow any seed in their fields. But it doesn't end. But it doesn't end right there. They were supposed to observe a Sabbath day every 7 days, a Sabbath year every 7 years. But after 7 rounds of this 7-year rotation, right, after 49 years, they were to observe a special year called the Year of Jubilee. Now, a reminder, year 49 is still a Sabbath year. It is still the 7th year in a series of 7 years. But year 50 is a special year. It is the year of Jubilee. And you're wondering, how is it special? It's more than just a break. And I could go through all of Leviticus chapter 25, but I don't think Tommy or the choir is going to appreciate that. So I'm just going to highlight a couple key points. What makes the year of Jubilee special? Well, first off, all debts would be canceled. If you owed anyone money, your debt would be canceled. If anyone owed you money, though, their debt would be canceled. Number two, all slaves would be freed. If you were a slave, if you had to sell yourself into servitude, in the year of Jubilee, you would go free. And then finally, during the year of Jubilee, all land would go back to its original owners. Let's say during the course of these 49 years, you had to sell the land or move away because you couldn't afford what you have to. During the year of Jubilee, you would get access to your land again. All debts are canceled. All slaves go free. And all land is returned to its original holders, allowing everyone to go home. Can you imagine that? It's more than just a year of rest. It is a year of freedom. But the historical evidence shows that we don't know if this year was ever actually observed. As far as we know, it never was. So why do I share all of this with you? Well, we read Isaiah chapter 61 today. And I'm going to say it's important because it was important to Jesus. Jesus actually quotes it in Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to read you Luke chapter 4, and it's going to sound very familiar because it's what we just read. But there's a little bit more at the end of it that is extremely important to understand. So again, think about these words. We read in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So what exactly is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that he is here to proclaim the year of the Lord. He is here to proclaim not just rest, but freedom. Though the Jews may have never observed this year of Jubilee, Jesus himself proclaims it for all of us. He's the one who cancels all of our debt. He is the one who frees us from our slavery to sin. He is the one who restores the land that was once ours. He restores us to the place where we were originally meant to be. He makes a way for us to come home. So in this Advent season, we joyfully wait for the birth of Jesus because he is the one who proclaims the year of Jubilee for all of us. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, how joyful are we to celebrate this year of Jubilee in our lives? To celebrate the fact that you canceled all of our debts. What we could not owe, you have forgiven.
And Lord, you are the one who has set us free from captivity to sin. You are the one that allows us to walk free. And Lord, you are the one who's returned this land to us, the place that we were originally meant to be. You made a way for us to come home. You made a way for us to be with you for all of eternity. So Lord, in this year of Jubilee, we praise you and celebrate you. You are our God and we are your people. Lord, we sing to you, we dance before you, we praise your name, because you are our God. And what better way to come together than to pray together? The same prayer that your son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."